So last week we celebrated the Feast of Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit, which focused on the third person of the Holy Trinity. And now we are blessed to celebrate the Holy Trinity, God Himself as Jesus Christ has revealed Him to us, Himself to us. We in the Old Testament knew that there was one God. We didn't know there were three persons. Jewish people didn't know there were three persons. They only knew there was one God. Although there were glimpses of the Trinity in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, it talks about God creating the world and creating man and said, let us create man in our image. That's all the way back to the beginning, the book of Genesis, speaking of God as plural. Let us create man in our image. And there are other images in the Old Testament of the Trinity, the three men who appeared to Abraham, telling him that he's going to have a child at his 100 years old, and his wife was not too much younger, and she laughed at the three men, and they rebuked her for that. Anyway, the three men were sort of symbols of the Holy Trinity, the three persons of the Trinity. Who spoke from the burning bush? Saints say Jesus spoke, the Word. The Word spoke from the burning bush. But it was God who spoke from the burning bush. All three persons spoke, telling us. And when God acts in the world, when we say the Holy Spirit is in the church today, was in the early church after, during the time of the apostles, if we read the book of Acts, the Acts is considered the gospel of the Holy Spirit by scholars, because the Holy Spirit was mentioned many times in the Acts of the Apostles. And Jesus did say he was going to send the Holy Spirit after his death to lead us into all truth. He was going to send another advocate on our behalf to plead our cause before the Father on our judgment day. The Holy Spirit. So God, the Father, and the Son send the Holy Spirit after the death of Jesus to send grace into the world, to sanctify us, to help us to live a holy life, to help us to be faithful to God, to find salvation, to be faithful to God, to give us grace through the sacraments, really to build the church, to be with the church to the end of the ages, to the end of the world. The Holy Spirit is always guiding us. It's not like we're going to forget what Jesus said 2,000 years ago. Any human institution, any human message is going to get distorted over a period of time, right? You say something through the telephone and it gets spread to all your neighbors, and by the end of the conversation, it's all totally different story. Embellished or whatever, but that's not the case with the gospel. The gospel truth is guided and protected by the Holy Spirit through the church, through the Pope and the bishops. Look at the whole body of doctrine in the Catechism. You can find it all in the very beginning of the church. Nothing has been distorted. It's all guided by the Holy Spirit. And how did the church survive to this day? Through all the scandals, through all the heresies, through all the renegade priests and bishops. How did the church survive and still be thriving today, despite all the, sinful members of the church? Because of the Holy Spirit, because of God protecting the church. But when we say the Holy Spirit protects the church, it's really the whole Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit protecting the church, guiding us. And when we say we're temples of the Holy Spirit, we're also temples of the Holy Trinity. In our heart, in baptism, in the state of grace. So God, when he acts, he always acts all three together, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But we can say with Jesus, who took a body, it wasn't the Father and it wasn't the Holy Spirit, it was only the second person of the Trinity, who took a body, who suffered and was crucified on the cross. That wasn't the Father or the Holy Spirit, that was the second person. Although the Father and the Holy Spirit were with Jesus always, because Jesus is man and God, it was in his humanity only the second person suffered. But in his divinity, all three persons were always together. So Jesus was never separated from the Father and the Holy Spirit when he was here on earth. So what is the Trinity? you know, one God, three persons. Is the Father God totally, or is he only one-third God? The Church says God is entirely God. God the Father is entirely God. God the Son is entirely God. And God the Holy Spirit is entirely God, completely God, each one of them. And yet there's only one God, three persons. That's the mystery, really. How can there be three persons who are totally God and only one God? It's really the mystery of love, really. If we think of love, if you are intensely in love with somebody, intensely, I mean, really, really strongly in love with them, not just emotionally, but, you know, your entire being, you love everything about that person. You are like really, really in tune with that person. You're really close to them. You feel like totally united to that person. I don't know if you've experienced that. I can't say I have, but I've read about it and heard about it. Maybe some of you can tell me what it's like. But love can be that uniting, so intensely uniting that you can almost think, know what the other person is thinking. But that's just a tiny, tiny, tiny shadow of what God is, who is infinite love, burning fire of infinite love, consuming fire of love, so strong that they are one together, the three persons. They are truly one because love is so immensely powerful that it can unite, and it did from the very beginning of eternity, which was forever. The Father generates the Son out of love, and the Father and the Son, the Holy Spirit proceeds from their love, and it's a circle of love between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit from all eternity. The Son never did not exist. It was always existed. The Holy Spirit always existed with the Father and the Son. And that's the mystery. How they can, there's this order in the Trinity, this order, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, first person, second person, third person. There's an order there. Jesus, when he was here, he always deferred to the Father, even though he was equal to the Father. Same is true of the Holy Spirit, is equal to the Father and the Son. And yet there's that order which they observe with infinite love for each other. You know, this is, you can see that in the family too, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I mean, the Father, Mother, and the child. The love between the Father and the Son produces the child, and there's the love between the children and the parents. And that's from the beginning, Adam and Eve, another image of the Holy Trinity from the beginning. So this is the intellectual side of it, and but that love from God is fruitful. You know, it's fruitful in the Trinity. The love between the Father and the Son is fruitful in the Holy Spirit. That's why families should always be fruitful and open to life. So life is always fruitful. Love is always fruitful. And we're all supposed to be fruitful, seeking the good of others. Love is always outgoing, you know. My love is not selfish. If I'm selfish, I don't care about anybody else. I'm indifferent to everyone else. But the Holy Trinity is giving, love-giving to each other, and created us out of love. Out of love, and we are to return that love for God. We're supposed to be this circle of love from God to us, amongst us, and back to God, a circle of love that's supposed to be there, not always, obviously, but we are to do our part to love God with all our heart, to love our neighbor with all our heart, and that's the circle of love that we should have and we will have in heaven. It will be our infinite happiness in heaven, immense happiness in heaven, will all be based on love for each other and for God. So we're to have that here on earth amongst each other and for God. So really, you know, we can look at the intellectual side of what the Holy Trinity is, but more importantly, it's our personal side. You know, we should have a personal relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, to love each of them in our human way, which is individually, but all of them, and and intimately love God. You know, we look at God as infinitely powerful, infinitely great and strong, and immense, infinitely perfect, can do everything and anything, infinitely perfect, and yet he's humble. He loves little things. He loves little creatures like us. We're like tiny ants, tiny atoms, compared to all the things he's created, compared to eternity. And yet God loves the little things. He comes down to our level. That's how great God is. And he loves us personally, intimately, personally. It's an amazing, amazing thing when we really think about it. And he's going to raise us up into him and make us one with him, heirs of the kingdom of heaven. What is an heir? Someone who inherits everything from the heiress or heir. We inherit heaven. We inherit God. We possess God in heaven. Even here on earth, we can possess God in the Eucharist. We possess him. We take hold of him. We say he is ours. This is what God does. He hands himself over to us. And we will possess him even here on earth in the Eucharist, but even more in heaven, completely and totally in heaven. This is how amazing God is, how he gives himself to us like that. We're just tiny, nothing creatures, and yet he gives him and his entire infinite self to us, where we can really say that we possess him and he possesses us and we are one with him and we have everything that he has. You know, he will give us everything that he has in heaven. And that's an amazing, amazing truth of our faith. We will inherit the kingdom of God. We will inherit God himself in heaven, the infinite triune Holy Trinity. So we really should have that that knowledge and that relationship, that personal relationship with him, so far from the idea of fear, the idea of, I'm shaking, just to think of the thunderous, earthquaking, lightning thunder of a God who scared the people in the Old Testament. He wants us to love him intimately, not to be afraid of him. And that's really the Holy Trinity, a trinity of love for us and love for himself. He's not one in the sense of solitary, lonely, but he's a love in a three persons, which is a beautiful reality, a beautiful truth, to know that God is not lonely, and yet he is one God in three persons and shares that. So let us take this feast and put it into our heart, where God is, where the Holy Trinity is in the state of grace in baptism. God is here in our heart, and foster that relationship and live with him, to please him, to obey him, to live with him in this life, so that we can live with him forever in the infinite happiness of heaven.